It's the Next Level Contractor Podcast.
Yeah, I'm talking about Mountain Dews, baby.
We're doing it every Monday at 7 a.m. in 30 minutes or less with no bullshit.
Eat bread, desserts, and just get all fat and sassy.
And you're helping small businesses and contractors be more profitable with better leads and better systems.
We'll do it live! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
And I'm here with Josh Swisher of North Face Construction.
Hello.
Josh, thank you so much for joining us. If you don't mind, could you just tell the people listening just a little bit about what you guys do and your business here in Elk River?
Yeah, happy to. I own North Face Construction. I started the company in 2010 when I was installing roof sill. I started roofing when I was 15 years old. I'm now 28 and loving my roofing career. But in that time, we've grown to a company of 8 employees. I have 3 outside sales representatives, 1 office administrative person. My wife does our accounting and payables, receivables. I do kind of general managing, sales managing, and that. And then I have a production manager and an assistant production manager. So we currently will do, what do you want to know?
We don't necessarily need to talk numbers just yet. We can maybe talk about them a little bit later, but we are just talking about roofing sales tips today. Okay. So I'm going to tap into Josh's brain a little bit on that side. And I just want to hear a little bit about like, hey, where do you think you're at in the life cycle of, to maturity? If you think of maturity, complete maturity as you got it down, you have all your sales systems. Where are you at? Like, I mean, obviously, if you compare it to when you just started, you're further along.
Yes, absolutely.
So where would you say you are in that life cycle and give people a little context?
I like your analogy, first off. And the first thing that popped up in my mind when you said in the life cycle, I see us as an adolescent with with facial hair just popping through and some zits.
Yeah.
So we've learned... we've learned enough to be dangerous, and we've executed enough things to be moderately effective, but we have a lot more that we can do. And I think you kind of touched the nail on the head there. It's all about the system, and we're, I'd say, in the adolescent stage of the system.
No, I think it's really good, too. We're being honest about where you're at in the cycle, and maybe there's people that have 2 or 3 people that could learn from what you've learned so far. And perhaps also you might think to yourself, hey, we've got our sales better than that. But maybe you'll grab a nugget or two out of this conversation, because certainly I've seen some things work for you over the last couple of years. You've grown your business from, I don't know where it was when we started talking. It was like 5 years ago. So
oh, gosh. When we first started talking, I think I did like 200,000 in sales in 1 year.
And then like we're 5 years later and you're doing around
About 3 million.
So clearly you've had some things right, and there's been some growth in your ability to sell more roofs because you've been selling them. So what would you say one of the more important, so let's just get down to like the biggest takeaways that you've had the last couple years as far as sales. You obviously have stepped out of you doing sales.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a role has that played in your ability to grow the business?
Being able to step out?
Yeah.
It's been a big, big asset to as we grow now. Because as you start adding salespeople and creating a system, not only do you need to have the system, but you need to have a way to monitor and hold accountable and have someone have, dare I say, the pulse on it. Like, how's the health of our sales in relation to the market and how many leads are coming in? It really comes down to numbers, and that's some of the stuff that I've learned in the last couple of years, is getting into the nitty-gritty of the numbers, knowing your cost per acquisition and tying that into your sales like budgeting and all that stuff, and how you're gonna allocate that way. I think I kind of went down a wormhole there a little bit.
No, that's all right. I don't think that's off topic. I think cost of acquisition and paying attention to those numbers is defined what you're trying to do on sales.
Yeah.
Because you can't be harder on your employees, on your salespeople, if you don't know that against benchmarks for the industry.
Yeah.
That they're a little behind or something like that.
And I think where I was getting at too is with our sales system, what separated us from a lot of competitors locally, and I don't know about nationally, but I think with the branding aspect, we've pumped a lot of investment in the pre-sale, I would call it. Mm-hmm. Like when people have access to digital marketing and the information online, what we've done is kind of focus on the pre-sale so that by the time our people get there, people have a lot of the time made up their mind on the company, on how valid we are, how our reputation of product. I mean, the online reviews are crucial.
Yeah,
crucial.
Like just to be clear, like so North Face Construction has like what, 250 plus?
So part of our sales system, like when someone calls in, we qualify the lead. We're attempting to really hone in on getting rid of one-leggers, which are only one decision maker of a two decision maker household. We're not perfect on that yet, and we still are running one-leggers here and there. But
I think that's a good tip, right?
Yeah. So one thing,
get rid of one-leggers.
Yeah, get rid of running one-leg appointments because it's a waste of your time and theirs. Because that's always going to be the scapegoat. I got to talk to my husband. I got to talk to my wife. I got to blah blah. Well, why didn't we set up the meeting with them before? It's a waste of your time because you're always going to have to come back, and people like to use that as an out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think you brought up a good point. A nice rebuttal to that situation is, okay, when would be available for them? And setting that next appointment. I think that's something that I could take on and we could implement on that end. But
yeah, just so number two, just making sure that maybe if you don't close, that there is some kind of positive constructive movement forward. It's not a waste of time. I mean, I know we all ideally want to close in one time conversation, but it's not a waste of time unless you don't get an actual positive constructive movement forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like some further commitment, because that's a sale. That's a pre-sale thing too, right? It's like if they've committed,
and then you've already paid to acquire that person. So in a sense, and a lot of people who are really 10-step sales system and one-leggers would probably hate me for saying this, but it's, you got rid of that cost of acquisition of another customer. Would you rather have a chance with someone that gave you a maybe or someone that's a cold lead again?
Exactly. You know? And that's why I think follow-up is absolutely crucial, because if you, and this is something we could improve on, I mean, to be honest.
Me too.
Is like, there's probably 100 cold lead or like moderately warm leads sitting in the back of our CRM or wherever, you know, if
there's
you have
always
to,
that
there's a bunch of cold, like if they don't have anything else to do,
there's always that mulch pile.
Yeah, you should definitely be tapping the mulch.
Yeah,
right. So tapping the mulch more, just putting your just putting a contact out there, trying to be useful to them if your salespeople don't have anything else to do, which I know yours do right now.
Yeah, we're going crazy right now. So. But another thing, too, that ties into the pre-sale that we've implemented is our emails. So whenever someone calls in after that, we qualify them. We send out a confirmation email to the homeowner, and it actually includes some of those videos that we've made. Like if they are looking for storm damage inspection, we have a video explaining what to expect out of our storm damage inspection when we show up. If you're looking for roofing, here's a video on this stuff. Of informational, and then it also reaffirms with them when it is, gives them an idea of who's coming, and then also they get an email and text message an hour prior to showing up with
That tool is Pulse M, right?
Yes,
Pulse M.
I don't
is
really
awesome.
Want to share that much with my competitor, but
if you're a competitor of Josh here, don't worry about it. But if you're in a different market, it's Pulse M.
Yeah. It's Pulse M, and it automatically sends out a email and text message to that customer from your linked calendar in your CRM. Hey, Howard is coming out today. And then there's like a link with a video and then a picture of Howard and a little biography about him, what he likes to do, his family.
That's some next level
stuff. It really
puts
some stuff, puts the face of the name so they already have a connection with him. And given that Howard is a perfect example, he's just such a nice guy and everyone loves him and he's just so caring, it just sets the tone for the whole appointment the rest of the time. So the pre-sale is where I'd say we're very strong. It's the closing were weak. Yep. We're missing some
closing is important.
I know. Well, so we're good in situations, I should
say. So let's wait on closing, because I'm sure you've had some things work. So we'll talk about this in a second. But so we talked about pre-sale. Now let's talk about objections.
Okay.
So objections in the roofing sales process.
Excuse me.
We actually did a couple videos on these today. So could you go over the two ones that we did?
I think the first one was in regards to price.
Price. So you're not the cheapest provider. Why are you more expensive than other roofing providers? And
well, do you want me to put it bluntly? No, I'm kidding.
No. And then the second one is?
Why do I need 3 estimates on my insurance claim?
And then the third one that we didn't really ever find a resolution for was, my husband or my wife, I need to talk with them first.
I need to talk with them first.
So let's talk about the one-leggers. So let's talk about the first one. So why are you more expensive than competitors? And how would another roofer, we're talking to roofers around the country. So,
yeah.
So roofers that are, let's say Massachusetts, and they get that same answer. And they're like a GAF Master Elite roofer. They're actually a high quality roofer like you, and you like top of the line customer service. How do you respond to that?
By design, that we are not the cheapest, because we know what we are providing in regards to quality of the work and doing things that way. And you don't want to sacrifice on that. But we're also not
top of the line materials. Exactly. And a lot of these people don't use that.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I'm not going to mention any name brands, but there's always that one shingle you can get from a supplier, that one siding you can get from a supplier that maybe I shouldn't be putting it on it, but I can get it cheap and I can sell it as an architectural and make a lot more for a lot quick. And when the rear view hit, there's guys out there.
And you have a long-term mindset, right? Yes. So like you actually are doing the right things because you have this long-term mindset about business. You want them to refer you out. That's been a huge, you did talk about that.
That is probably our number one takeaway on why we are the way we are, is because we want to have a sustainable business where we can service these warranties in 10 years if something does come up. We want to be around when they refer their neighbor, brother, sister. Everyone wants to refer someone that makes them look good. And so we want to be that person. And to be that person, we have to have an extensive effort on service and quality.
Yep.
And that, it's like that thing that we Googled earlier. There's 3 different types of service, but you only can pick 2. Fast and quick, or fast and cheap is not good quality.
Yeah.
If you want quality and fast, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
And, it's just kind of comes down to how you want to position yourself in the marketplace, and that's how we've chose to position ourselves, is we're going to overwhelm our customers with quality and experience.
I love that.
That's going to make sure that they are a lifelong advocate for us, and a referral, everyone knows how good referrals are. I mean, those are like sold. The closing rate on your referrals is probably way higher than any other marketing you can do, and your cost per acquisition on referrals is cheaper than everything. So it's long term good for you and your customers.
And you guys even, like, let's say, like, deliver some brownies afterwards when a roof is done, right?
Yeah, we have a give a shout out to Original Hockey Mom Brownies, the official brownie of the Minnesota Wild. My buddy Andrew Howard started the company. Give him a little shout out. He is a food truck, and he makes them amazing brownies. But he goes.
But if you don't have these guys in your area.
Yeah, if you don't have them in your area, something delightful, something awesome, right? That tastes good. Yeah. It's always good. But
a little bit of sugar never hurt.
Yeah, he goes and hand delivers brownies, an assorted dozen, to our customers after they've been closed out.
I really want some of these brownies.
And then, you haven't had any?
I don't think I have.
Oh, jeez. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
Well, I'll probably just
I haven't got a roof job done by you yet.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you have an apartment, so.
Yeah. It's going to be hard.
Well, we can do apartments. But, and then we have a handwritten letter saying thank you. And we've gotten great response on that from.
That's amazing, man. And I think really it kind of comes down to, it's like, it's not a gimmick. The sales tip from you right now, it's more about like, go for the referral.
Be yourself.
So play through, like, Grant, I love Grant Cardone.
Yeah.
And his thing is you don't just want him to, you don't just want him to buy what you're selling. You want him to want to hire you. Mm-hmm. And like, we do a lot of, our business does B2B sales. So it's like, I don't just want them to want to hire our company. I want them to be like, how can I get you to work for me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's really where I'm trying to get, like, that's the level of service.
That'd be, and you're, that'd be nice.
And you're playing through the sale. So you're like, I don't just want this sale. We want to we want them to refer us three more customers. That's a pretty high standard.
Exactly. Yeah, and well, and then also to just kind of go on a little branch from that is the reviews. Like, we want to get the review.
5-star review. We were just talking about how we're both obsessed.
I'm obsessed with
5-star like, reviews.
That's what I want. That's like my crack. Like,
yeah.
Getting those online reviews. I feel like I had some stat that I heard a long time ago. It's like 75% of people, and this might be a little off, but 75% of people value an online review like it's someone they trust.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's exactly. A really astounding number in the sense that they don't know these people.
Yeah.
They've never met them. They don't know them from Adam. They don't know their circumstance, their demeanor, how they are as a customer, like what their expectations are versus them. But they trust them like it's a close friend telling them and recommending someone. So if you have 50, 100, 200 online 5-star reviews compared to your competitor locally that has 2 reviews and it's like a 3.5 stars, who are people going to call?
Exactly.
It's no-brainer. They're going to call who can get the job done. And if it costs a little bit more to make sure and give that peace of mind that they're not going to have to deal with it again, that's what they're going to do.
Exactly. All right, so objection number 2. Mm-hmm. My parents told me to always get 3 bids on anything. My dad always did it.
Yeah.
The insurance company told me to do it.
Yeah. So I guess there's 2 bids. Sides to this, right? So there's the retail side and then there's the insurance side.
Yeah.
So if a roofer is doing insurance restoration, then maybe we should start with that one. So that's the one we talked about today.
So if I said that, if I'm a prospect, what do you say?
Be like, Tim, I understand. That makes perfect sense in a lot of scenarios because you want to be a judge of, you want to have choices to pick from. However, in this scenario, who says you have to get 3 bids?
My insurance company.
Why?
I think because they want me to get the best deal.
What happens when you get the best deal?
Oh, well, they'll be paying them. Yeah, so they'll be paying them.
It's going to cost you the same. Like, your deductible is $1,000 across the board in this example.
Okay.
You're paying $1,000 for Joe Schmo here, who's going to charge you, say, $10,000.
Yeah.
You're going to pay $1,000, same, quote-unquote, same roof, architectural 30-year whatever roof. Joe Schmo is going to charge you 10. Joe Blow is going to charge you 12. And Rick Van Winkle over here is going to charge you $18,000. But the thing is, you're only paying $1,000. So it costs you the same.
Yeah.
So why would you shop around? What's the difference between these architectural roofs that are lifetime, quote unquote, that they're doing all differently?
And I don't really know.
Well, exactly. You don't.
And
this guy is probably not profitable. The Joe Blow is at 10. He's not profitable. A, he's using the crappiest materials and he's probably using the cheapest labor that came from wherever and is not probably insured and whatnot.
So we're getting to the bottom of this. In the video, you just said, like, why are you wasting time? Like,
well,
we made a joke about, like,
so
you've got all the time in the world to meet with 3 roofers. We were even making fun of roofers a little bit because we're like, because he said, like,
because
we love talking, so we'll talk to you. Like, you have, why not 10 roofers? Why not have 10 roofers? Well, we're making some jokes around it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think both of these points are super valid too. Mm-hmm. I mean,
It comes down to, you could have a primo service, like the best service, best whatever, for the same cost.
Yep.
Who is it actually serving to go with the cheapest or most
affordable? The insurance company.
It serves them. And it ties into the time. If there are issues with that cheaper person, who has to deal with that? And whose choice is it?
Yeah.
You. Not them. They're free of that.
Yeah.
So it really comes down to the value of a customer's time and the value that they place on the workmanship. We tell people, go with who you're comfortable with in an insurance scenario. And if they tell you to get 3 bids, just think about why.
So we both came to the conclusion that we don't have a really good answer to the third objection that we're going to talk about, which is, I need my wife or my husband to approve this decision. These are very common objections, right? So let's just fumble our way through this. What have you seen work? Have you seen anything work on this? If you say no, I'm fine with it.
No, off the top of my head, no. But I remember listening to, I think it might have been a Grant Cardone or someone else, like how to address, or some salesperson telling me how to address the scenario. Yeah. And it kind of goes like this. In the situation that you're with the husband and the wife is gone, you ask him, okay, so your wife knows you're here though, like meeting with us today, right? Okay, so she was comfortable with you meeting here without her, so she gave you permission to make a decision without her.
Yeah.
Right? Unless you actually aren't making the decisions.
So
you're wasting my time. Yeah. And that's a very confrontational it approach is. That these people
but
do.
But hey, it's not very Minnesotan, but it is very Grant Cardone. I will say that.
I think that's where I heard it.
I mean, here's the deal. I like that guy, and I agree. I will say this. I think that's one way to do it. And if you could, I think his whole thing is always like, you have to play it off in a playful tone. If you can come across, if you can say something like that, that's a little confrontational, but it's a joke.
Yeah.
And it feels like a joke, and you're the kind of person that can successfully hit that joke.
That's tough.
Then you can do that.
Yeah.
But if you can't, and you're going to piss somebody off, get a one-star review from sales.
Yeah, that's a real quick way to piss someone off. Yeah. So that's why I said that's what I heard.
And I think my way of dealing with this is around, like, I think this could be a way too. And I know that this only applies to you if you are a little bit more of a premium provider. But I think I would absolutely love to set that appointment. Let's get that in place. And making sure that you actually do set the appointment. Because what I care about is progress. A good close, a good successful next step piece of progress is as close, you know, it's like a close.
That's the next best thing.
Yes, it's not a close, but it's
at least you're getting a tease. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So that's what I would go with. But I also don't think, you know, neither of us have that one figured out.
No,
per se. But
it's
I think that's
a constant, constant thing to learn how to approach. And each person is different. You feel people out. You learn from them as you're sitting in these appointments.
Yeah.
And your pitch is always going to be different. And that's one thing, too, that I've learned in the last couple of years is as consistent as you can be on everyone.
Yeah.
You want to have a structure so you don't miss anything. Because if you forget like a certain aspect of your pitch, like, oh, I didn't do the walk around of the property with inspection with them. You know, they might look at that as like, well, the other guy actually like got out and like showed me the stuff and gave me that interactive experience. Yeah. So being consistent on each appointment, there's a consistency that you want to make sure you stick with, but you got to customize it for each situation. There's always a situation that is in the outlier. So you got to be fluid yet structured.
Yeah, somebody's ready to sign right now and says, okay, I want to skip the walk around. But speaking of it, what about closing? What have you seen work? When have you closed? Maybe when you didn't necessarily think you were going to or something interesting happened. Can you share any successful closing things that you've seen? And I might share one or two too.
Putting people, and it sounds maybe, let me think about it right. So,
hey, we're not talking to customers right now. We're talking to other roofers.
So the deal is like when I felt like, man, that went really well, like all that jazz, and I got them to like go, like first call close. Those always feel amazing when you first call close. Like your pitch is on point.
Yeah.
Everything is great. Like I'm passionate about selling myself and my company, so it like bleeds into the sale.
Exactly.
But like I think when you have that effect in that sale, I've had it where you go like that, and I'm like, you know what? I really don't care if this person signs or not tonight because I just like did this amazingly. And I'm saying, hey, Mr. Whatever, how would you like to move forward? And like just taking, be like, all you need to do is just sign
how
here
like
and then just
forward?
Take it and slide it across the table with paper, with a pen and just smile and don't say a word.
I like that. How
just
would
don't
you
say
like
a word.
Forward?
Yeah,
that's good.
All you have to do. Well, I'm not saying specifically that, but I guess what I'm alluding to is like that rush of sliding the paper over and shutting your mouth because, in all honesty, the first person who talks loses.
I like that. That's good. And then I'll say another option for possible close. This is my number two, and I don't know exactly how this translates to roofing, but I call it the assumptive close.
Oh yeah.
So it's just like, I know we're moving forward, so when should we get the next step scheduled?
Yep.
So
it works.
I don't say I know that we're moving forward, but I just say, when would you like to get the next step? And you look at them To be honest, here's the thing. And sorry if you are a roofer and we're about to work together and you feel me do this. No, it's not actually.
I've known him for a long time and I know his sales tactics, but I let him do it anyways.
Yeah, you just let me do it.
It's entertaining and it's fun.
It actually is fun. And to be honest, I mean, when you like somebody, and this stuff is all easier when you enjoy somebody. So if you're if you're good at kind of getting, if you don't, it's a lot
people
easier.
People like being
sold. Yeah. No, sure. We've
there
talked about that.
There is a flair to it and an experience in it that they just want to be led along.
Yeah. And I, to be honest, you know, as a business owner, I'm sold all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like I'm often selling, right? Mm-hmm. So actually, I really like that experience more, even though, because I'm like, I'm also analyzing it a little bit too. But anyways, what I was trying to say is the assumptive close is just you basically start moving forward. They haven't said yes necessarily yet, but I've literally, in our business, I've literally gotten through a whole discovery. Like I've like scheduled the kickoff, did the discovery, still didn't have a signature. Wow. And then handed them the
You
thing.
Committed.
Yeah, I committed hard.
Well, and they feel that too.
Yeah.
You know, there is that like giving more than what you expect to get back.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also a little, like in ours, like I know some of our guys, like just from like a mindset of servitude even.
Yeah.
Like I'm going
to
serve you as freaking good as I possibly can on the front end. If you can experience that now, when you have no obligation to buy from me, know anything, there's no pen on the paper, look at how committed I am to you, people feel attracted to that and they will commit to that. So I say that's another sidestep off of that too.
I like that. No, that's really good. As Minnesotans, we know how to sidestep all day.
Oh, yeah. And anything, you know, to not confront that subtle, like, guilt. Subtle guilt.
It's
like
a social thing, right? It's a social pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, if you tell me, like when's the next step, I don't want to have to say,
no,
I'm not ready to move forward. I mean, I might, and yes, they might, but you got to be, you can't be afraid of rejection, right? So what's a final closing technique?
Just ask. Don't be afraid to ask for the sale and do it in a genuine manner. You know, don't fake it till you make it on that.
Yeah.
Be earnest and honest, and but have the guts, and dare I say, have the balls to ask for the close.
And ask again.
And ask again.
Just because you got turned down once. How many times can you get turned down?
Well, I don't know how many times I asked my wife out before. She hated me.
I feel
quite
like,
a few times, honestly.
I feel like you could ask 6 times. 10 times. I mean, change it up. And, you know, I mean, really there's a lot of ways to ask. And maybe just like one sentence or like 30 seconds on how it's been working with Hook. So this podcast is put on by Hook Agency, hookagency.com. And, you know, I'm happy to say I think we've helped accelerate some of the things that you've done. Certainly I give you full credit for building this business. But I feel like I've been a part of it.
We have. You have been a part of it. And I got to say, we wouldn't be here where we are today without you. And I'm very glad I listened to you way early because it set us up for success long term more than our competitors. But it's been a great experience. I feel the biggest takeaway working with Hook is you guys aren't pretending to be something you're not. You're telling me flat out, this is going to work, this won't. Like, just candid, tell me not what I want to hear necessarily all the time, but tell me what I need to hear, and doing what's right for my business in the long term and not always going for the shortcut quick thing. I think there's a lot of value there. And honestly, besides that, my next number one takeaway would be saving my time. You know, as a business owner in a small business, you're wearing 100 hats, you're HR one moment, salesperson the other, account manager another time. And being a marketer and understanding how to run SEO and remarketing and all this junk, it's not something that's worth an owner's time learning in most situations. So you guys have really optimized my time, is I'd say the biggest thing.
Man, I appreciate it so much. And thank you for spending the time. It's actually 6:14 on a Friday. This guy's, we just got done filming some videos for his stuff. And I think, I really appreciate that you spent the time to do this.
Always happy to help and be a part of it. It's fun.
Awesome. And thank you so much for watching and or listening to the Next Level Contractor Podcast. We're doing it every Monday, 7 a.m. No bullshit, 30 minutes or less. And we're helping small businesses and contractors be more profitable with better leads and better systems. Check us out, hookagency.com, at Hook Agency, all over the internet, on social media. All right. Have a good week, guys. Bye.
Bye.